Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Revelation chapter 2. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly, and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, These things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword, I know your works, and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name, and did not deny my faith even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality, and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
My child, do not fear. I was dead, behold, I'm alive. This blessed revelation. What you see, you must write. I hold the keys of death and hell. And to my church, I have much to tell. Words you write, my voice you be. And if they listen, they would hear from me.
Lesson 240, Letters to the Churches. In our last lesson, we began our study of the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. In the first chapter, we were given John's testimony of his vision of the glorified Lord Jesus Christ, with a prophecy of Jesus' coming and judgment upon the earth. In the next two chapters, John has recorded the words of our Lord Jesus Christ to the seven churches in Asia. This will comprise the second division of the book explaining the things which are. In each of the seven letters to the churches, we will notice a similar format to the letter. There is an initial mention of the angel or messenger of the church, who conveys the words of the Lord Jesus to that particular church, with a description of some aspects of the vision which John saw of Jesus in the first chapter. He gives words of commendation to each church, if there is something to commend, followed by words of correction, instruction, and warnings. Then each letter ends with an exhortation to hear what the Spirit says to the churches, and a unique promise for each church and to those who overcome. It is certainly interesting to compare these seven letters to notice parallels and important issues concerning the churches. We will only have enough time to consider a few spiritual lessons from these letters, but perhaps this will inspire further consideration and study. The first letter is written to the church of Ephesus, to whom the Ephesian letter was written. These believers had the benefit of much training and teaching from Paul and Timothy, who both spent considerable time at Ephesus. Ephesus was a city of idolatry, worshipping the image of the goddess Diana. Christianity had made a large impact on the community, with many turning from idolatry to follow Jesus Christ. This letter, written many years later, was meant to rekindle their love for Christ. Jesus said to Ephesus that he knew about their work, labor, and patience. He observed that they had not put up with evil people and tested men calling themselves apostles and had found them liars. I wonder how many of the so-called apostles of today, if put to test, would also be found to be liars. It was clear from Jesus' evaluation that the Ephesians were diligently working and had persevered with patience. However, the Lord did chastise them for leaving their first love. He encourages them to do their first works. This likely means that when they first started their Christian lives, they were burning in love for Christ, as seen by their zeal to do good works. Perhaps they continued to do the work, but love for Christ was no longer their motive. We cannot be exactly sure what is meant by their leaving their first love, but it is clear that they were not all that they should have been or once were. Jesus tells them he would remove their lampstand if they did not repent. This means the church would lose its testimony for Jesus. Jesus appreciated that these believers hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which were likely those who loved to rule over God's people, setting up some form of clergy. This we discern from the meaning of the word Nicolaitans, which means ruler over the people. Jesus hated this practice and still hates those who seek power and authority that he never issued. Jesus says in conclusion that whoever has ears should hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This phrase is repeated in each letter sent to the seven churches. To the overcomer, Jesus promises to allow him to eat from the tree of life, which is in the middle of the paradise of God. The tree of life was mentioned way back in Genesis, and now we find it here again in the final book of the Bible. The tree of life is that which man may eat of and live forevermore. Figuratively, it speaks of eternal life granted to those who have believed in Jesus. The second letter is to Smyrna, from he who is called the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. He knew their works, tribulation and poverty, though he said that they were actually rich. Jesus knew also of the blasphemy of some who called themselves Jews, but were of the synagogue of Satan. Jesus said that they need not fear those things they were about to suffer. The devil was going to cast some of them into prison to test them with tribulation for 10 days, but they must remain faithful even unto death to receive the crown of life. Jesus does not have any words of correction for Smyrna, only comfort in the face of their trials. He says those who have ears should hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Overcomers are promised to be sheltered from the second death. The overcomers are true Christians whose faith will endure trials and be found genuine. These, therefore, are not subject to the judgment of the great white throne, when all the wicked will be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. The third letter is to Pergamos, from he that has the sharp two-edged sword. Again, Jesus said he knew their works, and also where Satan's throne was. He said they had kept his name, not denying the faith, even when Antipas became a martyr for the faith. Antipas must have been known to the church at Pergamos or attended there. His murder revealed that Satan dwelt among them. Jesus' correction for this church involved the tolerance of some who held on to the doctrine of Balaam, who stumbled Israel, causing them to eat food dedicated to idols and commit sexual immorality. They also tolerated the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which Jesus hated. Jesus calls them to repentance, lest he come and fight with them with the sword of his mouth, meaning God's word. Again, all should hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This time the overcomer is promised hidden manna from Christ and a white stone on which is a unique name only known to the one who receives it. The fourth letter was written to Thyatira, from the Son of God, whose eyes were like a flame of fire and feet like fine brass. Jesus is aware again of their works, love, service, faith, and patience, confessing that their works were more than at the first. Though they had been doing more work, Jesus had words of correction for them. They were allowing a wicked woman like Jezebel of the Old Testament and calling herself a prophetess to seduce God's people to commit sexual immorality and eat things offered to idols. Because she would not repent, she was to become sick and suffer greatly. Those who belonged to her would die, and then all the churches will take notice that the Lord searches the minds and hearts of those in the church, rewarding everyone according to their works. Some in Thyatira did not follow this evil practice or know Satan's depths, and so the Lord would not add more burden to them. These faithful ones should hold fast until the Lord comes, and overcomers were promised power over the nations and the morning star. He finishes by calling all to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Revelation chapter 2, verse 29.
I know your deeds, I've seen your service, I felt your suffering, you've not grown weary. Now just hold on, hold on to me. I am with you, just hold on to me. My spirit speaks to listening ears. and my church my words would hear. Turn from sin to seek my face, and to repent from shameful ways. Outside the door I'm knocking. Please hear my cry, please let me in. I wanna be in the midst of you. Your first love, your heart's to rule.
And now for today's Bible question. In today's lesson, we consider the words of the glorified Lord Jesus Christ to four of the seven churches of Asia. We notice that in each letter, the Lord is introduced by some aspect of that great vision John had of Jesus in chapter 1. The letters contain words of commendation, correction, comfort, and a promise to those who overcome. Someone might ask the question, who are the overcomers that Jesus mentions in these letters? For each of the seven letters sent to the churches in Asia, there is a call for all believers to hear what the Spirit says to the churches, and then a promise to those who overcome. It is clear that these letters were written to address specific issues in each of these historical local assemblies. We can also discern from the wording at the end of each letter that these letters were also intended for a broader Christian audience everywhere. This we would gather from the words, "Let him who has ears hear what the Spirit says to the churches." John mentioned overcomers in his first letter and makes use of the same term here in Revelation, while quoting directly from the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we put together all these references, it would seem to indicate that our Lord Jesus, through the pen of John, is speaking of those who prove themselves to be true Christians. While each local assembly will be comprised of many individuals, most of whom would testify that they were Christians, this does not in fact prove that all who profess were actually born again by the Spirit of God. Local assemblies can be a mixture of both the saved and unsaved. Oftentimes, people think they are believers, just like everyone else around them, but have deceived themselves or been deceived. So many people that we meet would call themselves a Christian and attend a church regularly. But when questioned about their salvation, they prove to be religious, but not saved by the blood of the Lamb. So with this in mind, it appears that our Lord is addressing assemblies which have a mixture of people who are saved and unsaved. He calls on the people to repent of their wicked deeds, to hear what the Spirit is saying. Then he promises to the overcomer something that will be true for everyone who is a believer in Christ. The overcomers, then, are those who perhaps thought they were a Christian, but later discovered that they did not have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. They then repented and trusted in Jesus as their Savior, and thus became an overcomer. As we listen carefully to the Lord Jesus correct his people in these churches of Asia, we can see that overcomers will be those who respond in obedience and faith to Christ's instructions for the church. It is not in their works of obedience that will make them a Christian. Overcoming temptations and sins are proof that they were born by the Spirit of God. Overcoming is an evidence of salvation and not salvation itself. If you belong to the Church of Ephesus, you would be an overcomer and prove your salvation by returning to your first works and first love. If you belong to the Church of Smyrna, you would be an overcomer and prove your faith by enduring through the days of testing in prison, being faithful even to death. If you belong to the church at Pergamos, you would be an overcomer and prove you belong to Jesus by rejecting the doctrine of the Nicolaitans and the evil practices of the woman Jezebel. If you belong to the church at Thyatira, you would be an overcomer and prove you are God's child by holding fast to sound doctrine and not giving way to the wicked teachings and practices that others were falling into. Also, by being faithful and steadfast until the Lord comes. The overcomer is someone who demonstrates their faith in any one of the following ways. They return to their first love and labors, or prove faithful under persecution, or reject false teachings, or judge immorality, or strengthen a dying church, or keep God's word while seeking spiritual riches through righteous living and spiritual insight. These are areas we need to pay attention to if we are to be overcomers and prove to others that our faith in Christ is not simply talk, but also action. Let us remember that we are not saved by our good works, but works are required to authenticate our salvation. We can think of it this way. If I said I was a doctor, the words could prove rather meaningless, and even a doctorate degree hanging above my desk is not the sure proof of my being a doctor. However, when I administer health care to the sick and diseased and effectively help them, I have proven that I am indeed a doctor. The doctorate was granted by a university, but the proof was in my actions. The Holy Spirit gives us new birth, but our actions prove that we are God's child. But someone will say, "You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." James chapter 2, verse 18. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. Jesus saw me when a stranger, wandering from the full of God. He to rescue me from danger, interpose His precious blood. Unto grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let Thy goodness like a banner bind my wandering heart to Thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave. If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. And also in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
I know your deeds, I've seen your service, I've felt your suffering, you've not grown weary. Now just hold on, hold on to me. I am with you, just hold on to me. Oh, hold on, hold on to me. I am with you, just hold on to me. On a hill, a light in your soul, I made you to shine a light to the world. To rise up again, you must overcome. Fix your eyes on me and hold on.